flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
What are you doing, Hotshot?
Oh, nothing, just watching sports people and hanging out with you guys. How's life?
Good. Not a bad day.
You guys getting excited? Only 2 days. That's all anybody's talking about. There's something going on here at work that I'm guessing was in our email and we probably should have attended. I heard a lot of screaming and shouting. So Laszlo went out to smoke earlier and I don't know where you went, Snowcone. If you were in the restroom, probably taking a crap. But did you hear all the screaming downstairs? There's a lot of cheering, and it kept coming and going.
I've been hearing it all day, yeah.
Okay, so that was probably something we were supposed to do.
Really?
I don't know. When I first hear stuff like that, I go, well, that's probably something for salespeople. But the amount of screaming...
We got emails. It was just...
I figured.
There's been, like, a festivities all week.
But it's not, like, mandatory.
No.
It wasn't, like, something... Or even something that they would expect us to come to. Okay, good. Because I just walked by our boss earlier, and... want to make sure that he's not pissed that we didn't go to whatever the hell this thing was.
I don't think he gets pissed about that, does he?
I don't know. I really don't. I guess I don't really know what he looks like when he's pissed. I just know that sometimes he seems in an extra good mood, and other times he just seems in a pretty good mood. I've never really seen him get angry. Have you seen him get angry?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I've heard stories, urban legends, about him getting angry.
I've never seen it.
But I've never seen it. People have told stories about screaming. There was the stapler incident.
Oh, he didn't get mad at me like 20 years ago.
Well, I assume at some point...
Remember?
Yes, but yeah. I don't actually remember at that point in time if he was like screaming or if he...
He wouldn't talk to me.
Okay. Yeah, that was... that which we shall not speak, but it's involves advertising.
He thought I did something to sabotage him.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I didn't do, which we're friends now, and 20 years later, he still doesn't believe me.
He does not believe you, and it's frustrating.
It's so weird.
Yeah, and it's like that thing where you go, this is the thing I want you to know. Of all the things,
right?
If I can let you know one thing.
And it's like at this point, like, man, we've committed, and we haven't, but we've committed murder together.
Right.
Like, you can trust me. I think I've proven that, and you've proven it, but still, this one thing.
I know.
It's like he doesn't believe it. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And he's not messing with us.
No, he doesn't.
He genuinely,
I
know
him
well
really
enough to know that, yeah, he genuinely
I tried to screw him
it.
Over.
And if he were to hear this, he thinks this is just a further attempt to try
also,
to make
Also, I
believe.
Do like him, but, you know, that not talking to me because you're mad at me is a real bitch move.
Well, it kind of is, but how much were you talking to him at the time anyway?
Yeah,
you
know, really, I don't think I was pretty nice. Good with friends. I remember walking by, like, the day after it happened. And it doesn't really matter what happened. It's hard to explain, but
it was work-related, and it was dumb.
Yeah, it was work-related, and it was like I sabotaged him and the station that he worked at the time, which I didn't. But it did look like I did.
It did look like I mean, I understood. I understood he's not crazy for thinking that. Right. Yeah. No, and it
tracks
with you.
And I came back the next day, I was like, hey, man. And he was like, it just, nothing. And I'm like, why is this guy pissed at me? So I just sat down and didn't think about it anymore.
If you had thought to do it, you would have done it. I think it's probably fair to say. It's certain. That's why I think he believed it even more. Yes, it looked like someone did it on purpose to him.
I mean, maybe.
Really? It's definitely probably the kind of thing, like if we were like, hey, what if we did this?
Yeah, but not in the building.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
You know, yeah, it just felt like, you know, if it was someone across the street, I would have done it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, we work in the same building. Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really,
I probably would
know.
You know, although I have done it to people in the building, but
I mean, there's definitely been tensions.
Yeah.
I don't know which incidents you're thinking of, but there's a few that cross my mind.
We've done stuff before. So maybe, either way, even if it is something I would have done, which maybe I would have, maybe I wouldn't have, you know, now that you mention it, maybe I probably would have. I don't know that
it's an idea you would have had.
I don't know that I would have thought about it.
Yeah, if someone thought of it, it would have been you, and that's why he thinks it was you, because he knows that if somebody thought to do that on purpose, it was you.
Yeah.
If anyone thought to do it, and in his mind, it had to have been on purpose, right?
Yeah.
So,
but it wasn't. And 20 years later, I'm still like, man, I did not do that.
Right.
And we're friends. Like, I went over to his house for Christmas Eve.
Yeah. I know. It's not like there's any hard feelings there. It's just that one thing.
Yeah, and I'm like, I didn't do it. He's like, yeah,
I don't believe it.
Still, I brought it up like last week. He's like, I don't believe it.
He's like, okay. Yeah, and he really doesn't believe it. So what can you do? Mm-hmm. You know? You like to think that you can have that one thing that you can tell someone, hey, this is the thing I promise. There's one thing I want you to believe, but maybe that just makes people believe it even less. I don't know. But I know you didn't do it. As much as I can know you didn't do it. Obviously, you could have done it without me knowing, but as much as I can know you didn't do it, I know you didn't do it. And he just won't let it go. Other than that, though, I've never seen him yell. I've heard stories about it. He's never yelled at me. How's that? Not talking to you, that's pretty good, but that's like 20-plus years ago. And then as far as like raising his voice
I've never heard it.
In my presence, I've never seen that.
Mm-mm.
I've only heard stories. And I think that's why stories circulate about people like him, because it's so intriguing to think, oh, my God, if he yelled, he must have been really mad, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, if those two got into it, they did. And then the story just spreads. And I've asked him about some of that stuff. Some of it dates back over 20 years as well. And he's like, yeah, none of that happened.
Right.
So you go, oh, okay. Well, I guess.
Well, I mean, let me say it again. Bob, I didn't do it.
You didn't do it.
And 20 years ago, not talking to me when I walked in, just like, you know, acting like a woman, giving me the silent treatment. It's a complete bitch move. If anybody should be mad 20 years later, it's me.
The Church of Laszlo.
Well, you think America's rooting for the Eagles or the Chiefs?
Well,
we talked about this the other day. Right. Yeah, yeah.
If you have to pick the Eagles.
Hard to make the Eagles the good guys, like you said. But people are tired of the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And they think that the refs are in on it with the Chiefs. Yeah. I was actually surprised to see the poll that came out today. I would have thought that it would be more, but I guess people, it's just hard to root for the Eagles. 29% of people that plan on watching the game will be rooting for Philly. 29%. 22% for Kansas City. And 49% do not care who wins. So,
yeah,
I guess it's one of those years. I wonder what the highest, if I went back and looked at those, what years people were most engaged and were rooting for someone the most, you know, because there was a great storyline or something like that. I wonder if that's normal. Maybe it's normal that about 50% don't really care who wins. And then you got the fans of both teams and a few extras, right? I think sports fans pick someone, don't they? Sports fans don't say, I don't care.
Now, but sometimes you can't tell. Like, for me, I can't tell. Like, in that Notre Dame, well, I hate both those teams. I figured I'd root for Notre Dame. But take that out, Notre Dame, Ohio State. But a lot of times I watch a game where I don't like either team or don't care about either team. And then I have to, all of a sudden it'll be, you know, third down. And I'll catch myself being like, I hope they get it. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm rooting for them. I don't know why, but you know,
it's hard for you as
you
a sports fan
love,
to know,
right? So it's like, I don't know why I love her. I just love her.
Yeah, that does happen.
I did, but here I am. Same thing with sports. It's like, don't know why I wanted to get this first down, but here I am.
But if you think about it, a lot of teams that you don't have strong feelings about, but you sort of like, at some point that probably happened. So then you just put it in your back of your brain, like, yeah, exactly. Okay, I guess I kind of like that team because I found that's myself exactly rooting what happens, for them. So, and then
people are like, why do you like that team? Why do you like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
And then you have to explain, like, I don't know. And like, well, there must be a reason. It's like, right. Oh, I'll see if I can guess. Okay, right. Start here with the uniforms, get back to Steve DeBerg, and then they were really, really bad. And then we'll go to Gruden. Well, who are the worst to win it? I saw another trivia question, too. There's only one player because the Chiefs are trying to, you know, do something special. And there's only one player who's ever done it, who's won three games in a row, three Super Bowls in a row. And I feel like I would have seen this already, but especially considering there's only one. If there were a bunch of them, you know, then I'd understand. But if there's only one, I'm kind of surprised I hadn't seen this pop up already.
Wow, that's a good trivia question. But somebody who probably won two with
someone. Is it a name we'll know?
I will tell you that he won two with someone with the same team and then won the next one with a different team. So the first two were the same team.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely not a major name. And it's an older name because it's a player from a while back. So I think, you know, you got any guesses?
No, not off the top of my head.
Okay, make sure I get this right. No team's ever won three in a row, but one player has. It was Ken Norton Jr., definitely not a big name. Won with the Cowboys in 92 and 93, and then with the 49ers in 94.
That's good.
I'm kind of surprised. No, I'm not. I guess it's not that surprising.
Well, that's a big name,
three in a row. So you would, but you couldn't have guessed it, or you didn't guess it, but you think maybe you should have?
No, I mean, maybe.
I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe someone who follows sports more than me could have figured it out, but, man, that's tough.
I'd have to go to, I probably would have guessed
Cowboys. I know he played
for the Cowboys
and the 49ers, but then, one, I have to know the 49ers won the next year.
Exactly.
And then I also have to make sure that it's not someone who played before the Cowboys and then switched over to them for 2 years. It seems like 2 minutes. I wouldn't have come up with it for sure.
Yep. That's the only thing I would have had to go on is Cowboys back-to-back. Assume that they played for that team, but then, did they win the first one before, or did they win it in one of those games? Who are the worst quarterbacks to win the Super Bowl? I've seen this one before. I can guess what they put on this list. I'll tell you in a second.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay.
All right, so these are
the worst, according to this, these are the worst quarterbacks to ever win a Super Bowl. And the one that I always think of that always comes to mind is Joe Flacco. Maybe that's partially because it's my era, but people argue
a lot better than some of these other guys.
Trent
Dilfer, Brad, whatever his name is, who's interchangeable with Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson, Nick Foles.
They do seven. They do seven of them. I do think of Foles.
Nick Foles.
Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson, Nick Foles, Doug Williams. He was bad, but especially he's not on the list because he's the first black quarterback.
I only saw the first one, which
he had a great Super Bowl. He just wasn't a great quarterback. Also went on to coach Grambling State, like a good. But I'm just saying, he won a Super Bowl.
Doug Williams. Okay. Number seven, they've got Joe Namath. Now, when I heard that name, I don't know anything about Joe Namath. When I hear that name, I think of him as some sort of an icon. Is it just because he won them their Super Bowl? I mean, he was a Super Bowl MVP,
and he was the one who guaranteed it.
And so that
and
just
the first,
adds to his kind of
like the, you know, we're going to beat these guys, right? Yeah.
Broadway Joe or something.
Yeah, Broadway Joe.
Yeah. Downtown Joe.
So, but he was not like
he was a great quarterback.
Great quarterback. Okay. Yeah, I guess I would have thought if they were putting together 100 greatest quarterbacks of all time or something like that, he would probably show
up. He might end up on that list too.
Really?
You know, like, just it's one of those things where, like, he doesn't have all the great stats, but he's ballsy, won a Super Bowl.
They say outside of the Super Bowl, his career stats are nothing overly special. He completed just 50% of his passes and threw for more interceptions, 220, than touchdowns, 173. His career is legendary and his impact on the sport undeniable, but he doesn't hold a candle to the other guys. Okay, so there you go. Namath. That seems crazy that he threw more.
Let me see who they put on the list. So they have Namath on. Let me just guess. I'm going to say Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer, Doug Williams, Jeff Hostetler sucked, and he won one with the Giants, I think. Boy, let me see who else I got here. They're probably going to put, if they put Namath on it, then they're going to put Plunkett on it.
Well, there's only seven.
Nick Foles.
I think Flacco
can be in there.
Well, Flacco was good.
Well,
that was a defensive team, right? Wasn't that kind
of a good quarterback? Yeah.
His thing about Flacco was that he just never stopped playing. It's crazy how long he
could still play right now. I have no idea.
Exactly. If next season...
He did play last year and got Cleveland almost to the goddamn
playoffs.
I thought they called him off a couch.
I thought that was last year.
Yeah, it was last year.
So not this year.
But this year, I think he was a backup somewhere in Indianapolis or something.
That's the thing,
that's the last thing he played in Indy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, if I was watching a game and he showed up, I'd be like, well, of course.
Of course.
No idea how old he is. So Joe Flacco is number six on this
list. He is?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are Joe Flacco?
I must think Flacco because I see him on these lists over time.
He comes to
at the time, that team, I always thought of them as a good team, and I thought of him as a better-than-average quarterback. That's what I thought of him as.
Of course.
Thought of him as like a good quarterback. But
I think of him as like, well, I don't know. I think of him as like right below, you know, Eli Manning. He's not as good as Eli, but, you know, kind of there.
They say
whatever.
He spent his career fluctuating between slightly above average to slightly below average, except for when it mattered most in the 2012 playoffs. In 2012, right, he threw for 1,140 yards, 11 touchdowns, zero picks, with a passer rating of 117.2 during the Ravens' run to the Super Bowl. So that's, you know, some of the good stuff. For a long time in the NFL, there was a joke that Andy Dalton was the benchmark for mediocrity in the NFL. Yeah. That was the Andy Dalton line. It became synonymous with league average quarterback play. But this website is suggesting that Joe Flacco maybe would be a better candidate for a mediocre player who could make great plays but was not a great player. If you make great plays,
well,
aren't you a good player?
The average player.
Yeah,
he can't be one of the worst. Like, I don't know. Maybe he is. I don't know who else is on this list.
There's
got to
be bad quarterbacks that won the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, usually
only seven.
Not because they're usually good.
Sure.
But I feel like Flacco was better than Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer, Jeff Hostetler. I feel like I can Jim Plunkett. But, I don't have Doug Williams. I feel like I don't have the
Foles.
Rest of the names. Yeah, Foles, Mark Rippon.
Flacco is better than Foles, right? I mean, just demonstrably, like he's better than...
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, let's see. Maybe Foles is higher on here. Okay, Jim Plunkett's number five.
Okay.
So there you go. He won, not one, but two Super Bowls, actually.
Yeah.
Making his inclusion on the list seem even more harsh. However, as a player, his career was nothing spectacular, finishing his career with a 500 record and throwing 34 more interceptions than touchdowns. He won two Super Bowls with the Raiders in the 80s during their period of NFL dominance. In both instances, he wasn't expected to be the starter. I didn't know that. 1980, he was the backup to Dan Pastrani, who got injured in 1983. So there you go. You did name him. Definitely named him. That's on the record. Number four, Jeff Hostetler.
Yeah, Jeff Hostetler.
You did say his name, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I said I was thought he won with the Giants. I wasn't... positive, but I feel like I remember him winning with the Giants and not being very good.
Yeah, with him, it's like, because at that point, I'd started watching football. So I remember his name, but if you say that he won, or, you know, if you go back to that era, I'm like, did Phil Simms win
that
one?
Right,
that's my thing. When you say the Giants won, I go, yeah, but that might have still been Phil Simms. I was young.
And Phil Simms might have been on that team, hurt. I don't remember.
It says he was unlucky to be behind Phil Simms for most of his career, with seven of his 13 NFL seasons spent being on the bench. It says Hostetler's big moment came in the Super Bowl after Simms was injured late in the regular season.
Okay.
But late in the regular season, this isn't like a guy who came in halfway through the game or something like that. So I do think that you get to be on this list. That counts. The Giants snuck past the Bills in a game most famous for the wide right call, which I don't know if you remember. I do not remember the wide right call. I mean, what year are we talking here? That would have been 93 or something? Very early 90s? So I was definitely watching.
I almost want to say it's like a late 80s.
Was it? Okay.
Well, I don't know. I'm guessing.
I get that.
It could be 89. Could be 90. Something like that.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like I was...
When the Giants beat the Bills?
No.
An earlier one. Not the Eli Manning. Well, no, Eli beat Tampa twice. Maybe that is the 90s.
Well, Phil Simms won against play?
Well, no.
Hold on. What was the not? I want to say they won in like 91. I mean, LT was on. That was like, you know, they were going through their era. I don't know if they call it a dynasty. Probably not.
I'm
going to
say
were
it was
good.
Like 1990.
I would say right around the
89
90
or
91
they beat
like that.
Buffalo.
in 19...
I defeated Buffalo 2019 Super Bowl.
Was that
20...
part of Buffalo's four, though, in a row that they lost? Is
no.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is, because I think they went... That was like 93, 94, 95.
91.
Who?
91. Giants beat the Bills.
Yeah, okay. And then the Bills started their...
On what? Like, does it say February 91?
They lost that. Then they...
January of 1991, so it's the 1990 season.
And then they...
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so it's 1990 season.
Then didn't the Bills take a break and then go back to
that's
lose three
thought,
in a row?
But no, I don't know.
I don't think the Bills went the year after that, right? I think the Bills went on that three-run loss after that.
Well, they maybe have lost like a Super Bowl, yeah.
Well, they've lost four total. Did they lose four in a row? Okay, okay.
So I just don't maybe know they did that is then. One of them. It could You'd be 90, 91, 92, 93, I guess. Yeah.
Check on it, producer. Nick Foles is number three.
Okay.
Everybody said his name. You know, after that game, though, by then I was like, man, he might be pretty good. Like, you wouldn't have thought that what was coming in his future was going to come.
Started in 91. So it was 91, 92, 93, 94.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. But the 90 season. Right, yeah. Right. The 90 season, 91 Super Bowls in 91.
So there was no break there. It was four in a row.
There you go. Yeah. And that, Phil... Hostetler team was the first team to beat them, right? So it's got to be the Giants and the Cowboys twice.
And then the 49ers?
Maybe.
Right? Because didn't we just say Redskins that, what's his name, played for the Cowboys
the
twice?
Yeah.
It was? Okay. So Nick Foles, you know, after that, I mean, we'd have to go back, but after that Super Bowl win, things, you know, they didn't go as how I would have guessed after that Super Bowl win. I'm not saying that I thought at the time, this guy's the greatest.
No.
Well, I thought he was pretty good. Like, what happened? Did you know? I don't remember talking about him.
No, I mean...
I'm sure we did, but I don't
know. I think he played at, like, Arizona State.
Okay.
Or Arizona, and I think he was pretty good in college, you know? I kind of look at... I do use, and they gave it the example, but I use Andy Dalton as football's Mendoza line.
Red Rocky.
Okay.
And that's where I'm like, in order to, you know, like... You might be able to win a Super Bowl with Andy Dalton, maybe. But like, if you have a quarterback that's not as good as Andy Dalton, then that is the line of underneath that is diminishing returns. Like, your team is bad now because of your quarterback. If they're not as good as Andy Dalton. And the Mendoza line was like, for people who don't know it, you can look it up, but it was this baseball player named Mendoza. And I think, like, his average was, like, .212, his batting average. But he had, like, an unbelievable glove. And so the Mendoza line is basically like, you can be a bad batter, right, and have a great glove, but you have to at least bat .212 or whatever the Mendoza line is. You have to at least beat that, or your bat is so bad that it doesn't matter how good your glove is.
Okay. Mendoza line is .200.
Okay. That's what I thought it was, okay. But yeah.
Well, Foles is just
so you
got to
bat at least .200, which is really weird. I don't know. We don't have to get so sportsy, but why not? It's really weird because now if you think about it, there are guys in Major League Baseball who make the All-Star game who can bat under .200, Kyle Schwarber, and they have them lead off. Like, the game has just changed so much. They're like, dude, hit 60 home runs and strike out the rest of the time. We're good.
That's all you need
to do. That's all you need to do. The game has just changed, you know? Like, if you batted 140, you know, when I was growing up, you know, there's like maybe two or three guys who were that, you know, just struck out all the time. Rob Deere and Dave Kingman, but Gorman Thomas. But, you know, there wasn't, you know, that was, and people talked about it all the time. Like, this guy strikes out all the time. He sucks, even though they could hit home runs. Now it's like Kyle Schwarber, he's going to the All-Star game, right?
Right.
Different game. Anyway, Andy Dalton is a Mendoza line, and I said all that to tell you that I think Nick Foles is below the Mendoza line.
But it's...
I think he's worse than Andy Dalton.
It's so weird because...
But they won a Super Bowl with him, so...
They won, and he won MVP.
Yeah.
Which I know they said Namath did, too, but look, I'm just looking at this. They say that he tied the record for most touchdowns in a game, which is 7. I don't know if that's still the... Tied the record. Has the 5th highest quarterback rating for a season ever, 119.2.
Mm-hmm.
Won the Super Bowl MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, just, you know, those couple years in Philly,
pass,
apart
right?
from
Did he
that...
Did catch the pass?
That was him, right?
Yeah, because they tried some sort of trick play in the NFC Championship game, and Brady said it, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I get it, Nick Foles. You caught the pass. You're better than me. He said it. Which, by the way,
that's a good joke.
From the first game to the last game, Brady got really good.
I heard somebody saying that he's still not very good, and I'm like, I think he's good.
Right. That first game, I was like, no. Because I am a fan of his. And that first game, I was like, dude, you suck.
It was bad. Everyone said it was bad. Fans said it was bad.
How nervous he was.
Yes.
Like, you were like, I'm like, man. That's how
shocking.
I sounded when I first went on the radio. Like, it's, I can.
You wouldn't expect
I don't know, but it's
from
not
him.
A quiver in your voice. You could just, there's something about it, and you're like, man.
There's no command.
People are just like, you know, he sucks. But if you do this long enough, you're like, not only does he suck, that dude's incredibly nervous. Incredibly nervous. He has no idea when to come in. And then by the NFC Championship game, I'm like, man, that was great. He's telling stories about his career.
Like, as a player, he's got a playoff
game. Yeah.
Yeah, right? He's just got to keep going. So I thought he did really good at it. I would have never thought that he would have been good at it.
I thought he would have. I never would have thought he would have been so bad that first week.
I think that color commentating is just like a different animal. If I were the Fox guys, I would have said, Brady, come in and do the studio show with us. Like with Gronk, because he's so personable, and he does, like, on the roast, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But that, confining him into those five-second breaks,
trying to do
Collinsworth
stuff.
This is what just happened. Boy, that's a skill, man. That is a skill that, you know, I don't know that you can just kind of learn. Romo jumped in and did it, but, you know, I'm guessing, I don't know Collinsworth's history, but I'm guessing he called a lot of games before he got to the, you know, the, in you know, Monday Night Football or whatever it was, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's good.
He did really good.
Somebody I listened to said he's not insightful. I'm like, okay, well, I think he sounds good. So I know we got it. We're over time. Doug Williams, number two.
Doug Williams, number two. I just said number one.
And Trent Dilfer, number one.
No Brad Johnson?
Not in the seven. Not
they
in the top
said,
seven.
What? Okay.
Sorry, unless I accidentally skipped him. No, Nick Foles. Yeah, no Brad Johnson. But maybe he would have been number eight. I don't know.
Maybe he lost. Trent Dilfer and him are the same people.
The Church of Laszlo.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season two. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.